Deham vinana kila chedanadikam. Patyor pravritya dahitasya chatmanaha. Alakshya kinchit cha vilapya sasati. Chittam ataropaya adrisanduni. Deham vimana kila chetanadikam. Patyo pridhyadahitasya chatmanaha. Avakshya kinchit cha vilapya sasati. Chitam atorapaya adrisanduni. Deham vipana kila chetanadikam. Patyo pravritya tahitasya chatmanaha. Alakshya kinchit cha vilapya sasati. Chitam mataropaya adrisanduhi. Deham, body, vipana, completely failing, akila, or chaitana, feeling, adhikam, symptoms, but you, upper husband, prithivya, the world, daitasya, of the merciful, cha atmanaha, also of herself, alaksha, by seeing, kinchit, very little, cha, and, vilapya, lamenting, sa, she, sati, the chaste, chitam, unto the fire, ata, now, Aropayat, placed, Adri, hill, Sanuni, on the top. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Queen Archie saw that her husband, who had been so merciful to her and to the earth, no longer showed any symptoms of life. She lamented for a little while and then built a fiery pyre on top of the hill and placed the body of her husband on it. Purport. After seeing all the life symptoms of her husband stop, the queen lamented for a little while. The word kinchit means for a little while. The queen was completely aware that her husband was not dead, although the symptoms of life, action, intelligence, and sense perception had ceased. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Dehino sminyata dehe komaram yodram jara As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. When a living entity transfers from one body to another, a process generally known as death, the same man does not lament, for he knows that the living entity is not dead, but is simply transferred from one body to another. The queen should have been afraid of being alone in the forest with the body of her husband, but since she was a great wife of a great personality, she lamented for a while, but immediately understood that she had many duties to perform. Thus, instead of wasting her time in lamentation, she immediately prepared a fiery pyre on top of a hill and then placed the body of her husband on it to be burned. Maharaj Prithu is described here as Daita, for not only was he the king of the earth, but he treated the earth as his protected child. Similarly, he protected his wife also. It's the duty of a king to give protection to everyone, especially to the earth or land which he ruled, as well as to the citizens and his family members. Since Maharaj Prithu was a perfect king, he gave protection to everyone, and therefore he is described here as Daita. Om Agyan Timirandasya Kira Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapikam Yena Bhutala Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padanti Kam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sihatwaita Gadadhana Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So after a few days of glorifying the Lord in wonderful festivals, we are back now to the text. This is Maharaj Prithu is going back home. So here it's described that they're in the forest. And they're performing austerities and penances. And now Prithu Maharaj disappears. He simply leaves his body very naturally, full of consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His wife, sees as practically as good as him, in that she has all the qualities of a chaste and faithful and dutiful wife. Here it mentions, and of course, try to understand that when some dear one, especially such a personality who was dear to the whole world, such as Maharaj Prithu, leaves the body, his wife, she's his only associate in the time of leaving his body. And of course, the affection, the attention, and the care that they shared throughout life is very deep. And now he is gone. But she's in full consciousness of the difference between the body and the soul. It's not that she is, what we say, insensitive to feelings, but at the same time, she knows that her husband is not gone. He simply has gone to another place. He's not dead. Materialists, they lament the conditions of the body. Death, calamities, injuries, loss, so many various types of unexpected things come into people's life. And what is the natural reaction? Is to become overwhelmed, to lament, to feel not only unhappy, but to feel like sometimes can't even go on in life. Become so strong in a person's life that they actually think, what is the use of living anymore? Sometimes people even feel that when a material thing is lost, what to speak about a dear one, such as one's money. Such as one's money or one's possessions. It's like in the 1920s in the United States of America, at the end of the 1920s, was a huge crisis economically. And practically the whole country went down. And people who had fortunes lost everything practically overnight. And it's reported that many people were jumping out of windows, committing suicide, simply for something that really, when a devotee understands it, what is the value of such things? One can live without money. Sometimes you can live without money even happier. Depends on the situation. But here, people are losing their life over something that is so insignificant and cannot really bring any happiness. It's miserable when you have it, and it's miserable after you lose it. That's the nature of everything material. So people lament. What to speak of a loss of a relative or a friend or a dear one? Here, Queen Archie, her husband is not an ordinary personality by no means. He's actually a Shaktivesh incarnation. He's empowered to rule the earth by the Lord himself, and he's also the personification of teaching the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of his deity. He's outstanding in that part. And he's dear to the whole world. But she's in pure spiritual consciousness. We might say, well, she expected him to leave. But still, when it does happen, there is a feeling of loss. But it says, but it's natural. She lamented for a little while. She lamented for a little while. She didn't become overwhelmed with lamentation. Soka Bayam Moha. Illusion. What is this illusion? Illusion causes lamentation. Illusion is the bodily concept of life. The idea that what happens to the body or the mind happens to me. This is the misconception, or the greatest misconception of existence, that what happens to the body or the mind, or anything in relation to that, I'm affected by it. We might feel some loss, and that is natural. To not feel loss at the departure of a loved one is unnatural. But to lament and to become affected by that lamentation in such a way that one becomes unable to function. She lamented for a little while, but then she went on with her duties because she was free from illusion. What is that illusion? The bodily concept of life. The whole world, as Srila Prabhupada constantly emphasizes in his teachings all over and over again, you are not this body. We hear it so many times. But it takes spiritual realization to actually overcome this illusion. Theoretical concepts simply leave one half satisfied, not fully satisfied, or fully complete in knowledge, one cannot always say, eat the theories. The theories don't have, you can't digest those. You have to have the realization. What is realization? Realization comes by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada, so many verses over and over again, and so many aspects of the Shastras on how the living entity laments, a lamentation is simply destroyed when one hears the glories of the Lord, or when he hears transcendental knowledge. Because transcendental knowledge is actually freedom from illusion. And illusion is what makes up this material existence. Constantly, people are lamenting for something that is not worthy. Arjuna, he was pure devotee of the Lord. Of course, he was put into a particular situation in order to bring out transcendental knowledge. But when he was speaking on the bodily conception of life, he was talking about the attachment for friends and relatives and the consequences of not fighting. What would that bring in terms of social and, or you might say, political consequences? Krishna listened to all his arguments nicely, and he waited till he was finished, and then he said, "You're a fool." He called him a pundit, not a pundit, a pandita. Asochan, avasochan, swam, pratyavaram, dibasase, katut sams, akutat sumscha, pandita, samad, yaro shochati, pandita. Sorry, I became an a pundit for a minute. So the Krishna really took issue with his philosophy, although Prabhupada in the purport says that a devotee has a soft heart. To have a soft heart means to practice Krishna consciousness correctly. The heart becomes soft. We hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if the heart doesn't become soft, then one is not really chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, soft heart means one feels compassion, one feels love in relationships to others, but one is not affected by the illusions that go on in the form of compassion and love that is concomitant of the nature of this material world. Archie sees in good consciousness. She's all alone in the forest. She's not even fearful. Imagine being in that situation in the forest all alone, and your only companion, the one of you you've loved through your whole life and served through your whole life, is gone. It says she just lamented a little while, and then she went on for her duty and took care of the responsibility of taking care of the body. We hear in other places in Srimad Bhagavatam the story of King Chitraketu. How much he lamented for the loss of his son. His lamentation was so great that he was actually, we might use a very strong word, a fool. He was just lamenting like a little child with no sensibility. He had a son. Of course, he was what he wanted. He wanted a son who threw his whole life. He had all the facilities of everything that a king wanted, including many wives. But he was totally miserable and unhappy because he didn't have any heir. And so finally, by the mercy of Angira Muni, he was granted a son. And his jubilation went way up. The higher you go, when you lose it, the harder it is when you come down. Sometimes devotees think, I shouldn't be too attached to too many things because I know I'm going to lose it or things are going to change. But we should be attached to things in relationship to what is religious principles or devotional service. King Chitraketu wasn't like that. Of course, he had a little element, oh, I should have a son so I can have an heir and continue on with the throne. But he was more concerned with his own happiness because he wanted a son. And when that son was there, the world was Vaikuntha. He was so happy. He was jubilant. And his queen, Prithaduti, who actually delivered the child by the mercy of Angira Muni, she was also feeling completely special amongst all the other queens. And their love for the son, and their attention for their son, and their love for each other just increased so much at the expense of everything else. But then, the other queens got unhappy, decided we're being neglected, this is too much, we can't take it any longer, the son is the cause of all of our misfortune. So, being overcome with envy, they killed the child by giving it poison. When the wife, Prithaduti, found out to the maidservant what had happened, she was overwhelmed. She couldn't even believe it. Sometimes it happens like that. When you find yourself in a situation where something very unexpected and devastating happens, it's not true. It's called denial. First time, sometimes it's usually the first symptom when we hear something or we experience something. We can't actually believe it. She didn't even believe it. Finally, when she understood it actually happened, what was her first reaction? She started to curse Providence. And saying, Providence, you're all backwards. You create affection for between children and mother. That's your plan. But then again, you break it and you cause unhappiness. So really, you're a bad creator. You don't know what you're doing. That's how deep lamentation can go. And one starts to even criticize the way the Lord works. Lamentation due to illusion. And when illusion and lamentation is there, there's no intelligence. There's no sensibility either. And so this is how a lamentation works. So Prabhupada actually mentioned so many times in the purports that simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and by cultivating spiritual knowledge, one can be free from this element of lamentation. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma nasochati akankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu matpati labhate param. This is the platform of devotional service. This is the platform of being free from all material attachments. As long as there are still material attachments, there will be lamentation when it's lost. So one has to destroy material attachments through the process of bhakti yoga and through the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Prabhupada used to say, don't be unhappy about what is expected, what is natural. And he used the example of death. Everyone's going to die. So you should expect that. But when it comes, it's a whole different thing. That's the nature of the living entities. Attachment that when it comes, even though we know it, we experience what we say, unhappiness. But that unhappiness is simply part of the illusion. So a devotee is free from that. A devotee knows that loss, gain, they're all the same. Krishna gives, and Krishna takes away. There's no need to lament, nor does to need to rejoice. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is in transcendental consciousness, no lamentation, no jubilation. You see, in the material world, something happens by what was considered to be standards of acceptability and benefit, people rejoice. And when they lose the same thing, they lament. This is the nature of the bodily concept of life. A devotee knows, a devotee is in full consciousness. Loss and gain is all under the orchestration of the Lord. And one should simply be interested only in how to purify one's consciousness in devotional service. This will be by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It frees one from all illusion. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And hearing the glories of the Lord, prasang satam prasanga, mamavirya sambhida bhavanti ritkarna vrsaya nikita. This process, this hearing the glories of the Lord, is actually the process of destroying all illusion and therefore destroying all possibilities of lamentation. Because on the transcendental platform, or on the platform of hearing the glories of the Lord, and how to hear the glories of the Lord, we have to develop that eagerness to hear the glories of the Lord. Hearing of the glories of the Lord is the first principle of purification. As we hear the glories of the Lord, what is the next principle? We want to chant the glories of the Lord. And by chanting the glories of the Lord, because one becomes full in hearing, it's almost like you hear, you hear, you hear, you hear for as long time, as Prabhupada mentions, to continually hear. Then one becomes filled, and then one wants to speak those glories to others. And by speaking or glorifying the Lord, then the process becomes complete. One develops smarana, or remembrance, because remembrance is the goal, to always remember Krishna. Sahinas tam matats chitram sammoham cha vipramaha yam mohartim shanavapi vasudevina chintaya. This is a beautiful verse from the Padma Purana, which describes that to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead for one moment, that is the greatest loss, that is the greatest illusion, and that is the greatest anomaly. It doesn't say if you lose your money, or if you lose this, you lose your... whatever you might, one might consider a loss, none of these things are included. To forget the Lord is the greatest loss. Just one moment forgetfulness. And in that consciousness of forgetfulness, we're in Maya. That's how material energy works. Prabhupada says, he quotes that verse, Krishna Bhulya, Bhoga, Pancha, Kari, Tap, Japati, Akari. That Krishna, I see, Krishna is there. As soon as we forget Krishna, there's Maya. It's not like, oh, there's an in-between space, you know. It's either Krishna or Maya. There's no... Maya is simply forgetfulness of Krishna. That's all. That's the sum total of Maya, is to forget Krishna. So this verse from the Padma Purana really, what we say, supports all religious principles as a foundation for executing devotional service. Never forget Krishna. If one who forgets Krishna, then that forgetfulness can cause one to be overwhelmed or put into a situation which may cause one to lament, even for a second. So Archie, she's there. She's got all the good qualities of her husband. She's as good as her husband in all sense of the word. And it's interesting. He chose his wife to be with him at the time of departure because she was a pure soul too. There was no, what we say, material relationship in that relationship. Although she was his beloved wife, who had been with him throughout most of his life, still, they both were great pure devotees. And therefore, he left in pure consciousness, and she continued on in pure consciousness. Here it's also mentioned that Maharaj Parita was known as Daita. The verse is Daitasya. That means one who is very beloved. one who is very merciful, or one who is very dear. So Maharaj Parita was dear to everyone. He was dear to the earth. He took care of the earth. He chastised the earth. If we go back into the early parts of this Leela, we find when the earth didn't supply necessities for the population, he became very angry and went after the earth and chastised her and wanted to know why she was holding all the necessities of life. Of course, she explained it was due to the presence of so many rogues and demons and other forms of people who were exploiting her. So Maharaj Parita, knowing the situation, arranged for the earth to produce various types of necessities, commodities, needs for the people, in order for the earth again to produce, to function in her natural position, and to supply the citizens. So he was dear, very dear, not just dear, but very dear to everyone, and he is known as Daita. So this verse is very important to understand that when there is apparent loss, there is apparent lamentation. But this lamentation, as was mentioned here, she felt some loss. She, obviously, the closeness of her husband, the quality of that relationship, there was some loss. Then she went on with her duty. The soul is eternal. Nahanyate, hanyamani, sarire. As the body is apparently destroyed, the soul is unaffected. In fact, Jiva Prabhupada mentions this point. The body is never alive, and the soul is never not alive, or always existing. Sometimes we say the body is dead, but that's always the case. It's never independent of the life force. If the life force leaves the body, then that is called death. And when the life force enters the body, that is called life or existence. But in either case, whether the body has the force or not, the body always remains. We might use the word dead. There's no life to this body. So that is foundational in understanding our relationship with Krishna. That's foundational, to know that I'm not this body. But to know I'm not this body is not enough. One has to know who you are. Somebody tells you who you're not, that's nice. Well, I'm not this body, but maybe am I not this body or her body? Which body am I not? You're not anybody's body. You might say, this is not nice, but I'll say it. You're nobody. But that's not so transcendental. We are somebody. We are Krishna's part and parcel eternally. So that's our consciousness. That is our existence. And to come to the stage of realizing Krishna in pure devotional service is fundamental to understand that we are not this body. And whatever happens to the body happens to, just like whatever happens to the car doesn't happen to the driver, or the people when they do have an accident, or some calamity that has to do with something material, they identify and experience the loss in the same way. But that is illusion. The body is in knowledge. The body is not overwhelmed by illusion. So many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see this element of lamentation. It's like when Vidura, when his uncle, Dhritarashtra, left, he also lamented, but only for a while. Only for a while. The devotee is not, what we say, attached to the impermanent, those things that are temporary. The devotee is attached to the eternal. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions? Comments? We have a microphone.
It says in the text down to verse 4 that Archie was lamenting for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Because she was also enlightened by the grace of her husband. So what is the nature of enlightened grief? Why do we even lament for a little while? Is it just because we're missing the person? Or what's going on?
A devotee has a self-party, has emotions. So there is an attachment there, but that attachment is not the attachment that one cannot go on in the material world. When somebody loses something, one feels like it happens to them. She was just, actually she expected it. Obviously he was about to leave his body anyway. So they're out of affection, out of love, out of association. When a dear one leaves, there's some feeling of loss. But she didn't carry on and then couldn't function. It said, Prabhupada makes the point, she went on with her duties. If one engages in devotional service, if there's some loss, then if that interrupts your devotional service, that is material. It didn't interrupt her service. She went on with her service. But she had certain, she had affection. We have affection. We don't develop affection for devotees. We don't develop affection for the Lord if we don't affection. We feel some loss if a devotee leaves or a devotee has some. Prabhupada mentions in the purport in one verse, actually it's in the text, that one should experience happiness when others are happy, and one should also feel unhappy when others are happy. Unhappy. But that doesn't mean you can't function. If you feel you see someone else's unhappiness, you're unhappy, what do? You try to relieve that unhappiness by preaching. So there is some feeling. Devotees are not, when we say, you know, in the very, we used to feel like, oh, we shouldn't have any emotions, we shouldn't have any feelings, it's all, we're all so transcendental, and whatever happens, it happens, and it's all Krishna's. And that's not human. That's not normal either. There's love. There's affection. There's attachment. But when it's gone, when it goes on, without material lamentation. I think we all know that. Right?
Yes. What about if a devotee's feeling something which he knows is not proper? Feeling greed, envy, lust. So the emotion's there. Mm-hmm. Feeling is there. We can't deny it. How does the devotee deal with it at that point?
By knowledge. Knowledge destroys illusion. Otherwise, that's why when one is in knowledge, one can see things as they are. Lust is simply due to material desire. When material desires are not fulfilled, one's lust becomes unsatisfied, and one feels anger, one becomes illusioned, one again starts to think in a material way, one falls back into material existence. One has to check these things with transcendental knowledge. The force of our transcendental knowledge has to be strong enough to overcome. In some cases, when that's not there, then we should go to those who have that knowledge and hear from them. Get advice, get direction, get understanding. That's another way to fortify or destroy the illusions.
You were speaking before about denial of feelings. So those are the lust, the greed, and so forth. Can't deny it. It's there. So does one try to suppress it, run away from it, like when you're talking about dealing with it with transcendental knowledge? Is there, because that's a natural instinct. Well, I'm feeling something which is not proper, so I kind of want to deny or suppress it. Is that proper, or is that Is that counterproductive?
If you're feeling some of these anarthas, is it
really trying to maybe perhaps be in, yeah, the experience, not just in your mind, you're actually experiencing it and perhaps trying
to run away
from it.
You know, you have to think it's external to my existence. It's simply due to my material conceptions, my material attachments, lack of clear transcendental knowledge. We have to apply transcendental knowledge. There's no other way. But if it goes on for a long time, then that's the problem. It's like, I don't want to... Just recently, there was a very horrible car accident in America. Three devotees died, and I knew one of them really good. So, in my mind, it keeps coming back to me, the thought of him, and, you know, why. But then I realized, you know, obviously, there was some reason why it happened. So, we may not know the reason, but we have to accept it, because we know Krishna is completely in control of everything. So everything happens for some reason, either spiritually in order to purify us, or to teach us some lesson, or to bring somebody back to Godhead or something. So all these things ultimately are orchestrated by the Lord through His energies. Either He allows it to happen, or He wants it to happen. So transcendental knowledge is really the answer to all of our so-called lamentation, illusion, anger, envy. Just like if you feel envious towards someone, I'll give you an example of how to destroy envy. If you feel envious towards someone, that means you don't like what Krishna is doing for that person. Therefore, you're fighting with Krishna. Right? Krishna is arranging everything for everyone. And if you don't like something that Krishna has arranged for that person, that means you have a problem with Krishna. So when you think about it in that way, you think, wow, I'm not supposed to really have a problem with Krishna. Because He knows better than I do. So we can destroy, or we can begin to destroy these illusions with transcendental knowledge. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, you destroy illusion with transcendental knowledge. It's the very last verse in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm not sure of the exact Sanskrit. With the sword of knowledge cut through this illusion, he's talking to Arjuna. He calls knowledge a sword. It cuts away illusion. So we have to apply transcendental knowledge until we come to the understanding that there's a reason why everything happens. Mataji.
Yes, Maharaj, I have a very small comment to make on the concept of why the human beings are lamenting. But we can remember that not only the human beings, but Krishna himself sometimes laments. And Ramachandra laments when Sita is taken away. So this gives the charm to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to have all the emotions that we have. If you study the literatures of Jiva Goswami, you can see so many instances that Krishna's lamenting. That's very charming. So this is the whole point. If they don't have these emotions, then there's something missing in their makeup.
Yeah.
It becomes impersonal.
But Krishna's lamentation is not material.
Of course not. That goes without saying. But at the same time, these emotions are there.
Yeah. But our lamentation shouldn't be material either.
Actually, they're not material.
They're not. If they're in a relationship... If they're in relationship to a devotee, then they're not material. But what makes them material and what makes them spiritual is that if you go down in your devotional service, if it affects your service. Prabhupada says that. Just like anxiety. He says, a devotee's and a lot of anxiety. He says to have anxiety is a very high stage of spiritual practice. Those are anxiety because others need Krishna consciousness, so I should be in anxiety to try to give them. Or the anxiety of, you know, he's hungry and I have to make nice offering for Krishna, because if he's not, then he'll be unhappy. So that's transcendental anxiety. It increases one's devotional service, not decreases. That's the point. Whatever decreases our devotional service, makes it go down, that's material. Thank you. Nice to meet you. Anyone else? Yes, for me.
Prabhupada wrote that when dear most especially spiritual father or something, spiritual master, they die, they left the body, then we must cry. We must cry.
And that crying is purifying, but not for a long time. That's the same point here. If you cry all the time, like Prabhupada mentions, there are literally huge oceans of tears due to the lamentation of the conditioned souls. The oceans on this planet are small compared to the ocean of lamentation committed by this by people when they go through these situations. But we only want to add a few drops to the ocean, not increase the ocean, you know, and limit it. So that, yeah, the devotee has feelings. If you don't have feelings, you're not really practicing Krishna consciousness properly. We're supposed to love Krishna. We want to love Krishna, and we also love Krishna's devotees also. But for ourselves, when there's some loss, we don't lament. We understand there's some reason why. And therefore, tatenu kampa shusha mikshamanam bujareva krita kupakam. That Baba here by the Dana Mistake Vitiyo Mukti Padesha Daya Bhak. When something happens to me that is a reverse, thank you, Krishna. Prabhupada said that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and this verse should be learned side by side. It's such a fundamental verse in practicing Krishna consciousness. To understand that, yeah, everything's been reversed, but why? There's some reason why, and the reason is good. Someone asked Prabhupada, does every cloud have a silver lining? You know, the idea of a cloud means something that is inauspicious or negative. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, for the materialist, a cloud is a cloud. One cloud after another. But for a devotee, that cloud leads to acting in such a way that one starts to experience what we say, the reason why. One gets some knowledge from this. One gets some purification from this. One gets some devotion from these things, if it's seen in that way. Otherwise, if everything went along according to the way we planned it, then we'd be the supreme. But we're not the supreme. Materialists, they go on in life thinking, someday my plans will be fulfilled. But that someday never comes. The devotee always thinks, what is the plan of the Lord? Let me try to execute that. And if I have to go through some difficulty, then that's also my... As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the difficulties that one encounters in devotional service, he says, that's my happiness. Because it's an opportunity to make advancement, to show devotion. Anyway, I'm speaking theoretically. So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandini.